Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, and from God our Father. Amen. As I was sitting and singing the hymns and listening to the reading, something occurred to me. How beautiful is it to be in here this morning? You all get an experience that no one else gets as you get to see this beautiful light stream through these windows, the sunrise coming through up there. I don't know if y'all noticed it, but it was kind of an orange light a couple minutes ago. It's pretty awesome. On Monday, the world watched as images began streaming in from Paris. The Cathedral of Notre Dame was burning. Some of y'all may have been able to visit there in person in the past. And I'd imagine that all of us have seen at least one or two images of the beauty and the grandeur that stood for almost a century in the heart of Paris. As I checked on Tuesday and later this week, a couple of these images caught my attention. This first one here is a little bit bigger, or a little bit tighter shot of the cathedral and the spire, having faced the brunt of the fire already. And the interesting thing there is, I don't know if you can see it, but there's three birds that are flying around right in the midst of the clouds of smoke. Then there's the second picture, which is a little bit further back, that shows, there's the picture of the birds. The other one shows a little bit more of the devastation. And then there's a final picture that I wanted to show y'all. And it's one at night. And it caught my attention because the darkness has already set in, but the fire has cast a glow, and a beautiful glow, especially through some of that beautiful stained glass that had been sitting there in a fixture in France for centuries. Now, this is a profound tragedy, especially for those people, and even for us, because it cuts to the core this week as we celebrate the most sacred week in the time in the Christian faith. It's a time when some somber reflection was still in place, but normally today is reserved for unbridled joy like no other. I don't know about y'all, but my hope is that this morning there will be some joy among the ashes in Paris, that our Catholic brothers and sisters that are coming to worship to celebrate the resurrection will remember the promise and the hope that Jesus truly brings in the midst of even our toughest moments as people. It's interesting because there's been a lot of stories illustrating the hard efforts to save, to conserve, and to celebrate the history of Notre Dame. And one of the ones that stood out the most to me was the story of the line of priests, of firefighters, and others who were dedicated to preserving history. Now, this picture right here is a picture I stole from Google. I didn't steal it, I borrowed it. But we borrowed it because it's a picture of a crown of thorns. It's a relic that had been in possession of the cathedral for centuries. Now, if you know anything about relics, you have to take them with like 10 grains of salt, pretty much, because they say this is the one Jesus wore. Maybe that's true. I'm almost certain it's not. At the same sense, the people had an amazing effort to continue to bring life and to bring new life into these things that were valued, that were reminders and symbols of what today means for the people of Paris, but also for us here in Hearst. So each of us have come here this morning to put on our Easter best, to come and worship the risen Christ. He is risen. Y'all can do that one more time, right? He is risen. We've come to sing the familiar songs. We've come to encounter Jesus, to share the joy that Jesus gives us again this year. My guess is that we'll also welcome the people similarly in Paris. As we come here, we come similarly to them with a little bit of heaviness in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. We come with a need to have Jesus fill us up to the brim with his love, with his hope, and with his life. I don't know what that might be or what it might look like for each of you, but my hope is that you're able to come and be filled to the brim this morning with the hope of the resurrection, God's hope and God's plan for you and your life. Now, you're in good company because the disciples and the women, some of Jesus' closest friends, are filled with those same emotions as they began their Easter morning about 2,000 years ago. John tells us that Mary Magdalene was out before the sun. So maybe when y'all were getting ready to come here or drive here, that's when she was already at the tomb. She was probably still in shock from the events of the weekend. And she had to go and check on things. But what does she encounter when she gets to the tomb? The stone has been rolled away. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. The stone was supposed to still be there. But Mary needed that hope. She needed the love that Jesus was waiting to give her and to give her abundantly. So after she tells Peter and John, they too start racing for the tomb. Maybe as the sun is rising, maybe a little bit earlier than we are here, just as that beautiful pink, the orange, the red are all starting to break through. Just to come and take a look. Now, it's interesting. If you look at the text here, John's kind of trying to be a little bit modest, but also kind of really proud, because he talks about himself in the third person, right? He says, the other disciple. Now, when you see that in John, always read John. That's him. You know, the one who outran the other disciple, Peter, the tomb? So he's trying to sort of be modest, but maybe not. But at the same time, when you look at the text, what happened to John? He ran super fast, beat Peter. He gets to the door of the tomb. He looks in. He sees the burial strips of clothing. And he stops. He can't go any further. Peter, on the other hand, was his normal self, which means he was kind of awkward. Or maybe not. He was just kind of who he was. And what is Peter's normal thing? He's just going to go right through everything, right? So he just runs right over John and says, I'm going to get in there. And he sees it. He sees Jesus not there for himself. But John gets to the point of this encounter in verses 8 to 10. When he says he went in, he saw and he believed. Now, he and Peter didn't understand any of this yet. But he believed. The promise was working to fill him up. The doubt, the sadness, the pain was beginning to disappear. All that was left was an empty tomb and a risen Jesus, a Jesus who did exactly as he told John he would do. What a conversation must have taken place between John and Peter as they headed back towards their houses, probably not running this time, maybe walking. No. Now, they were talking excitedly about something that had happened now that had changed the world. What do you think their story is like when they got back to talk to their friends, to their other disciples, to their families? Do you think the other disciples were still sleeping on their beds and hadn't gotten up yet? And now they would wake up to the best news they could ever hear, that Jesus had risen. The grave could not contain him. Well, Jesus comes back to be present with the women as they came back to the tomb. The resurrection story for Mary Magdalene is a very personal story. It's an intimate encounter as she's still confused and she runs into the gardener. And Jesus reaches out, calling her by name, calling into the depths of her soul to let her know the greatest news that anyone could ever know. That he was risen. That she was the first person to see him after his resurrection. She was the first to experience Jesus in his fullness. She was the first to hear the next part of the story. The part that said, I'm not here forever. I'm going back to the Father. But you have a place. You have a home with me and my Father forever. A place where you can cling on as long as you want to cling on to me. So Mary goes back once again to Peter and John and the other disciples. Now this is the second time that she comes bringing the joyous news that she had seen Jesus in person, that Jesus was truly alive, that Jesus was going to be with them for a time, but that he would be going back home, that he would be going back to the place where we will all be able to spend forever with him. I can only imagine how overwhelmed with joy Mary must have been that Easter morning as she saw her dear friend alive again. I can only imagine what kind of stories they must have told and retold and retold again. The experience that she had needed to be recorded for the ages. And she was going to have the opportunity to tell it a million or a billion times. It'd be one of those stories you would want to remember every small detail, even the ones you didn't even think to observe. Because this was the most important news that anyone has ever had the opportunity to share. I can only imagine the joy that must fill your heart this morning as you celebrate Easter, as you celebrate the day when Jesus rose from the dead. We know more fully what that means for us today. We know that this means that death no longer has the final answer for any of us, that the things in life that overwhelm us no longer have that final answer. We have the answer. It is the name and the person of Jesus. As you think about heading home today, or maybe later on as you travel back from visiting family, what's your resurrection story? How do you tell people about the way that God has brought life and new life into you? As I was thinking about the Cathedral of Notre Dame this week, and of course, I listened to the pleas for rebuilding, revival, and restoring this national landmark, I thought about resurrection stories. Mary had one that needed to be shouted from the rooftops as the original eyewitness. With the cathedral, I don't know what their story is yet. I don't know how it's going to be resurrected. It's still to be written. But I know your resurrection story. I know the grace and the mercy that God has given you so that when you breathe your final breath, your story will continue by faith in heaven as you cling to Jesus, as you are surrounded by his presence. I know that God's resurrection plan for you includes the life that you live right now. It includes the burdens that you bring with you this morning that Jesus wants to take away, that he wants to heal, that he wants to bring resurrection to. As we prepare to celebrate the meal, the place of grace where Jesus comes to us in his body and his blood, the place where Jesus has promised to meet you, the place where Jesus has promised to bring his life and his forgiveness to you. How can we live our new life? How can we experience our resurrection story as we think about life continuing forever in heaven, but also our life that Jesus wants to bring into our life today? How can we share this resurrection story with the people that God places into our family, our friends, and our path? The thing about Mary is that she kept telling her story long after she got home. I wonder what it would look like if we all went home today and started sharing our resurrection story. And like Mary, never stopped telling that same wonderful, awesome experience for the rest of our life. Amen. And may the peace of God guard your hearts and minds in the risen and Savior who comes to you in your resurrection story today. Amen.